Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost checking in on a Wednesday night for your Thursday morning delivery. We got a couple of guests for you. We got some news to cover. We got some holdover news from Monday's show to share with you. It's going to be a fun time here for the next hour or so as we discuss the latest in mixed martial arts. We'll be right back to start the show. Goes you all about the March Madness? You fired up for tomorrow? You gonna have a few TVs running or what?
Yes and no. It's different with you gone, and you know, normally I think probably for the last 8 or 9 years I've completely cleared the schedule, but when you have to work at the same time, it's like it's not as fun. You know, you can't really have fun until the work is out of the way. And, but I did have a little bit of fun today because, my team's in the NIT and they had a good game. They got a win, and then they kind of got lucky in the sense that they get to host a game at Thomas and Mack now. So I might actually be able to go to a game, which might be fun. But aside from that, it's not the normal feel.
I don't know if I should open my big mouth, but you help out Wrestling Junkie. Didn't you guys have a pretty decent guest today as well, or is that kind of under wraps?
You know what? So remarkably, normally that stuff isn't too under wraps, but the way this particular thing did happen, I think it may be. And it's actually a pretty good story, so I'll tell you when we're done recording, because it never happens. But yeah, it was a little craziness with today's episode.
Okay.
But it's definitely...
Can't even say the name?
No. Top-notch talent.
Got it.
About as big as it can get in WWE, I think.
When will that video or interview be released on Wrestling Junkie? Just for those that are kind of curious and they're wrestling fans?
The problem is we're not sure yet because something else has to happen for it to be able to be released.
Okay. Well, we got Boxing Junkie, Wrestling Junkie, as well as MMA Junkie. But those other two, they sometimes get put on the back burner a little. And we're going to try and give them some love when we can. Check them out. It's part of the USA Today sports family. But getting back to MMA Junkie, do you remember on Sunday night's show, which was released Monday, remember I was flipping through trying to figure out, well, where the hell's Bellator landing?
Yeah.
We were on Showtime and Paramount Plus and YouTube and this and that or whatever. And I really gave it a good look. And then I said, well, I'm sure by Thursday's show, we'll have to have an answer because the fight's a Friday. So we're doing this Wednesday night. And we're, you know, our producer, Gabe, who is very on top of things, he'll turn this bad boy around and you should be able to be consuming the show before Bellator in Belfast, Ireland, right? But here's the info you need to know. It's a Bellator Champion Series. So this is where Bellator does their 8 shows, I believe, on their own, aside from PFL. And they try and have a title fight on every single card. The vacant light heavyweight title is up for grabs because Vadim Nemkov moved up from light heavyweight to heavyweight. So Corey Anderson and Carl Moore are actually competing for the vacant light heavyweight title. Moore, by the way, is Irish. And Corey Anderson, you guys know him, long time UFC vet and Bellator vet now. That's the main event. We also got Patricio Frady against Jeremy Kennedy Frady's the featherweight champ. He defends against Kennedy from Extreme Couture. Leon Edwards' brother, Fabian Edwards, also on the card. James Gallagher, also on the card, also from Northern Ireland. We now have the info for where you can watch the fight. So they kick off at noon Eastern for the prelims, 3 p.m. Eastern for the main card. And it was kind of big news. They will be on Max. As you all know, it used to be called HBO Max. Now it's just Max. Kind of caught us off guard.
Yeah, it did. I guess it is called Max now, right?
Mm-hmm.
These streaming services, man, they're uniting. They're doing all kinds of weird things, absorbing other ones. So they do not make it easy on you. But it's nice to kind of see HBO back into some form of combat sports, even though it's going to be just a short little stint, I imagine, right? But, you know, for the longest time, HBO was where you went for the big title fights. And then they just kind of went away, and Showtime picked up the torch a little bit, but it just didn't feel the same. So I'm curious if there's going to be any input at all with Max, or is it just kind of like, here's our product, play that thing. But if there is any type of impact, these are seasoned veterans in the world of combat sports. It'd be nice to see something out of them.
Yeah, you're right. Boxing on HBO was a big deal for a long time. Then Showtime joined the party. And now with streaming services, kind of, they're doing so many things. They're doing original programming. They're showing the classics, whether it's movies or series. Now live streaming, some getting into sports. I mean, it is so hard to keep track of stuff. You know what's the worst? Is sometimes I'll wake up, or, well, I'll know there's a Manchester United game on a Saturday, and then I wake up, and I swear to you, it's like a 1 in 5 chance I'll get it right. It could be on USA Today Network. It could be on a Paramount of some sort. It can be on Paramount Plus, I guess.
Yeah, it's ESPN Plus, or it's USA Network.
Yeah,
or
it could be Paramount. FA Cup has one streaming service, and then if they're in the European Championship, it can be on this service. And then if it's
Peacock is the last one.
It is crazy trying to figure it out. I use a website called TV Soccer Listings, and that's very helpful for friendlies, Champions League, Premier League, any league in the world. It's really, really good, actually.
If Score app tells you too.
Before, then I should have told you guys a long time ago. But yeah, these guys are on Max. Max has 90 million subscribers, and for 2024, you can check out the Bellator Championship Series at no extra cost other than whatever it is you pay for Max. Now, some people get that with their phones, you know, if it's part of their Verizon deal or AT&T deal or whatever, some people have to pay. I don't know. It's frankly a big mess, to tell you the truth. But that's where you can watch Bellator. Their series will run March 22nd, May 17th, June 22nd, September 7th. The reason I went ahead and told you guys this is just because I know a lot of people that listen to the show are from SoCal, and they will be on September 7th at the Pechanga Arena in San Diego. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Have you ever used, you use the Score app, right?
Yeah. I get a lot of scores from the Score app.
At the bottom, it'll usually tell you too where the game, where you can watch it.
For soccer or?
For just about everything.
If you'll bear with me, I'm checking it out right now. I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you scroll to the bottom, it'll tell you like this game can be watched on CBS Plus or, you know, CBS Sports, that sort of thing.
Really, I'm on it right now and it's not telling me that. It tells me where a game is, what the previous matchup was, but I don't see. Yeah, maybe you'll have to show me on another occasion because I don't see it here. Or maybe because I'm looking at March 31st. Right now we're on an international break or something like that from league play. So
this is,
I'm going to tell you.
This is Clippers and Trailblazers, right? So you scroll to the bottom. At the very bottom, it'll say where you can watch it right there.
Okay. Cool. So there you have it, folks. Max has your back on Friday for Bellator. And remember, noon Eastern is the prelims. The main card is at 3 p.m. Eastern. And don't get mad at spoilers. That's so 20 years ago, 15 years ago. I mean, everyone's got a phone now. Everyone's got these streaming services. So, yeah, I mean, stay off Twitter if you don't want to get answers or results, I should say. And you don't want to get spoilers, I guess. But, dude, everyone's gambling. People are gambling in the middle of the fight. Get out of here with that special request. Leave me alone. I'm not watching until tomorrow.
Yeah, I think this is the rule, okay? The rule is this. If you don't want to be spoiled, stay away from social media. Just get off it. That's on you. That's why social media is there. We don't have to adjust to you. You have to adjust to it.
Yeah, because you follow me.
But if you, if I just pick up my phone and text a buddy and go, holy shit, can you believe Fedor just got not? That's kind of a dick move. I think if you're a friend, you should first check in and go, hey, man, you watching the fights? And then if so, then you can, but don't just fucking blurt it. Blurt it out. You know, I'll get that a lot with Manchester United games and stuff like that. And if it's on social media, you have every right to do whatever the hell you want. If you're texting a buddy, just check in and just go, you watching them? You saving them for later? You at work? What's your deal?
What are you all about?
Pretty much.
All right. What do you think of this whole, I may catch you off guard because this is all legal jargon, but what do you think of the settlement that was reached in the UFC antitrust lawsuits? $335 million will be paid out by the promotion. I guess it happens over time, and it's 1,200 fighters is what this group is made out of. Now, the names you've kind of been hearing because they've been at the forefront are like Kung Lee, Nate Quarry, Kyle Kingsbury, John Fitch, Brandon Vera, but it's 1,200 overall, and this thing was supposed to go to a trial, but they came to a settlement. So they won't go on trial. It won't be the reported. I mean, this thing was going to be as high as possibly $1.6 billion, because the lawsuits were seeking almost $900 million to like $1.6 billion. And then it gets confusing because these class action lawsuits, they can treble in damages, meaning three times as much. So this thing could have really, really been pretty ridiculous. Now, it's taken a lot of heat online that the fighters kind of cheesed and they were supposed to kind of stand up, you know, to the establishment, in air quotes, and fight for future fighters' rights and stuff like that. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case, at least if that was the main concept to all this, right? The suppressed fighters' abilities to negotiate and explore other options. That's kind of what Francis went through, Nate went through. You know, their hands are tied to the organization. They don't want it to be like that. I think they want to negotiate fight for fight, be able to have that kind of freedom. Hell, there's even rumors that that's been the whole McGregor holdup. But what were your thoughts on this? If you have any, don't feel bad if you don't, because I looked at this thing goes, and it's kind of like Chinese. I literally had to read it like five times just to kind of go, oh, okay, we still need more info, but yeah. Sure.
So we're going to get more of the specifics in about 30 days, but I think what stands out is just the settlement and the dollar amount. If you look at it, again, George and I aren't attorneys. We don't really know all this, but based off of just reading things, it would appear to me that this is pretty close to what the UFC made in a year. And that's what they're getting hit for. To me, it sounds like the fighters may have lost out a little bit. That doesn't seem like compared to what the company's evaluated at and how much money they make. This just seems like a little bit of a slap on the wrist. And not to mention, you know, the big talk was how we're going to change the game along with this for future generations and for current generations, and that does not seem like it's going to be changed at all. So really, if I had to kind of score this right now, I think I'd score it 10-9 UFC, maybe even 10-8. I don't know. It's unfair to do it without more details, but just early on looking at it and kind of seeing the reaction of some fighters, it doesn't really add up too well right now.
What this tells me is that maybe the writing was on the wall that this thing was going to drag out. And if it did drag out, there must have been a risk that it might not be much more than this. And so it may not be worth the time that's already been invested. This thing's been going on for over a decade. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of, because obviously these fighters aren't stupid, we'll say. And I'm sure they must have got all the different scenarios out there. So I just think it just reached a point where this thing was going to drag on. And let's face it, yes, something I stood for 10, 12, 15 years ago, things might be different now. If I have kids, you know, or if I have, or if I don't have the ability to make money and I need money and money's available to me, it could be that they just kind of got exhausted. You know, they just got squeezed out or somehow. So, when more details come out, maybe we can be more critical of the fighter's decision to settle, or maybe more complimentary towards them, because, like I say, the writing may have already been on the wall that this wasn't going to be much more lucrative than what they were getting now. Now, look, I went through a bunch of sites. I tried to fumble through Twitter just to see what is this value, what is the value to this. I think if you do the simple math, I read $276,000 per fighter. I don't know if that sounds right to you or what, but
I thought it would be a
different because some fight, it had to do with how many fights you had had. Like if you only had one fight and someone else had 20, because it was like a block of time that was about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And it could be that some fighters may just be eligible than others, but in a class action lawsuit, you're in unless you ask to be taken out. So it's like I say, if it's done fairly, it's somewhere in the $275,000 to $280,000 range.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, like, I think without really knowing, what could possibly be a thing too is at some point you might get to, because they have so much money, the UFC, and they can drag things out for so long, maybe what you end up being is in a position where you could either drag this out later, but it will be for the good of the sport and you're really going to stick it to them, but you may not get as much money because of how much you end up having to pay your attorneys and all that stuff. That's where it can get kind of murky, you know, where some fighters will say, I thought you had our interest at hand. And I think other fighters might go, well, bitch, we can't be doing this for free the rest of our lives. Like some of us do. Yeah, we want to see some sort of payment, you know? So that's where it's going to get tricky. And I hope fighters don't turn on themselves a little bit with this. But if I'm the UFC, based on the little that I know here, if I'm the UFC, I think everybody just got a big slap on the wrist, you know, and they're probably having steaks and wine tonight.
There was a reaction post. I was going to call it a Twitter reacts, but to be fair, I guess we'll just say social media reacts on MMA Junkie. But one of them said, excited for my $4 check. We don't know what each fighter is going to get. And this person could be clowning around. But yeah, it's a little frustrating because I don't know if I was rooting for the UFC to get it stuck to them, but I was hoping that because this took so long, that something would come out of it. But it seems like it's still the same old damn thing. It's going on with McGregor at a high level, where it seems like him and the UFC are butting heads. And then look at the flyweight division. Mokaev and Tatsuya Otaira are both undefeated. They have more wins, more fights in the UFC, and yet Usyk's going to Rio de Janeiro to fight Alexander Pantoja. You're going to tell me that somewhere along the way, maybe it just didn't work with the others, so they went to plan C, and that's obviously the message they sent out.
I mean, that's what the way it seems, and I can't remember. I saw that too, the $4 thing. And I mean, like, I don't know. What have you done to fix the situation? You know, how is your $4 comment helping in any way other than just kind of being a dick?
I agree. What do you think of this whole mess with Covington, Colby Covington, and Ian Garry and Ian Gary's wife?
And Sean Strickland now.
Yeah, I saw Sean Strickland post something on social media, but I didn't see what Gary's wife said that may have triggered Strickland. And then aside from Strickland's getting involved, he also had a concerning message on social media about his own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So lots going on here, but man, how can I put this? Some of this stuff cracks me up. Not the Strickland mental health stuff. No, I'm talking about the exchange with Covington and Ian Garry. It's so, Kofi Covington has become this character that's so over the top that I don't take him serious. So therefore, you won't hear me go, hey, man, no women, no kids, you know, like that type of thing that you kind of hear. Like, of course, I'd prefer that not happen. But Covington's such a clownish figure that I don't take him serious like he's really attacking the wife. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, man, I mean, Ian Garry and his wife don't really do themselves favors either. They could very easily just kind of take, have you seen Homer Simpson when he takes that step back into the bushes?
Mm-hmm.
They could do that, but they still keep kind of throwing a little bit of gas on the fire, which is what Sean Strickland is alluding to a little bit, and what he addressed in his comments, which, I believe it or not, man, as crazy as Sean Strickland can be, I'm starting to kind of agree with him on a lot of things. It's really weird. But Colby, I think you have to kind of just look at it the way George said. Like, I think there was a time where we were like, whoa, 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 calm down. And now I think it's gone so over the top with that you just sit back and go, huh, okay, no. But Ian Garry is all about that. He's trying to make that money, and I think he's kind of realized a little bit of the recipe. But what is the cost? You know, that's my question. Like, even if you're sitting there and you're talking to your wife and you say, hey, look, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to respond, I don't know. When you're in public, when you're at the supermarket and somebody makes a stupid comment like that, like, are you always going to be there to defend her? Or, like, is it worth whatever all this is drumming up? To me, it's not.
Yeah. I when I saw Ian Garry's first comeback, it looked like he was kind of playing along with it, you know. But what I don't like is it's almost like, I know the fighters don't have to sweat anything because the UFC has this policy of, you know, free speech. What I don't like, though, is when it comes into real life. And so here's what I mean. Let's say these two fight. This guy's wife and kid, or whoever, they're going to be in the audience. And so when you kind of hear your favorite fighters talking a certain way, you're going to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that's real life stuff going on. That's the part that I don't like, is that a lot of these kids do look up to some of these, you know, fighters or whatever. And so then they start to act like it. And that's just not the way we want to be in society. But can I watch this from a distance, see it play out on social media and have a good laugh? I can. I'm not trying to say I don't have a sense of humor, but it's the fact that a lot of people, you know, they'll wind up mimicking this, and in real life, this isn't good.
You know, it's a perfect example, in my opinion, of what you're talking about. When I went to school, and when you went to school, probably even more, just talking back to your teacher was like, oh my God, let alone attacking your teacher. Like, have you seen, I feel like every day I go on social media and a teacher's getting laid out by one of their students. And it's absolutely insane. And guess what? There's always someone there to film it, which means more than likely this is something that they knew was coming versus just a reaction type thing. I think they see it and they go, well, you know, that's not so bad. Kevin did it. I'm going to do it. Fuck this teacher. Like, there's so many lines that when I was growing up, you couldn't even remotely come close to crossing. Now it's like they're crossing it left and right, man. And I think it's because you're right. You see these people do it and you go, well, they got away with it. Why can't I? And sooner or later, one day, somebody's going to play this game with the wrong fucking person. And when they do that, it's going to have a terrible outcome. And we're all going to sit there and go, well, maybe we should look into banning this type of thing, or, you know, stopping fighters from doing this. Why do we have to get there? We know we will. History has proven it. Something bad will happen. Not everybody is as chill as some of the fighters in these situations. And some of them lose their temper and you're going to mess with the wrong one. And I'm telling you, something really bad's going to happen. That fight in that stands could have been a lot worse, you know, but we got lucky.
Yeah, exactly. We've been lucky quite a bit, to tell you the truth. And I don't know. Not everyone, like I say, can just let this go. Like a lot of people just will make you pay for your words. There's different parts of the world where none of this is acceptable. But I also want you to chime in on Strickland and his mental being, where you think he's at. We know this guy pretty well. And he says, so sparring takes the demons away. But until then, he just thinks really, really bad things that involve hurting people. Do you think maybe he said this once or twice, saw that it got a reaction, boosted his popularity, and so he's just kind of out there saying the right lines? Or do you think this is the way he honestly feels?
I think it's the way he honestly feels. And I don't know him well enough to say this, but what a lot of people do is they mask that as a cry for help. They say enough things.
Well, he kind of was.
Because they're hoping somebody's going to take control for them because they can't do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I understand what he's saying. You know, yeah, your demons go away. Like, it's no different than you and I, where when something pisses us off, you ever had a remote control in your hand and a dumbass quarterback does something stupid, or somebody fouls somebody when they're not supposed to, and you're very close to throwing that control through your TV or at the wall, maybe you've thrown it, right? It's no different. He's hitting other people. He's hitting bags. Once you do that, that's your release. That's what makes you feel better. That's what he's doing. But guess what? Those aren't always around. Your sparring partners aren't always there. This is just like a couple hours of your day. You have to figure out the rest of your day how to compartmentalize with what's going on in your head. And fighting is not going to be his option for the rest of his life. So he's got to figure out how to deal with those emotions. And more importantly, you got to figure out, where do they come from? Am I really mad that this person did this? Or is there something behind that? Does that represent something else that's happened in your life? You know, are you taking it out on this person for a different reason? That's all the stuff that kind of scares me about Sean Strickland. But I'm glad that he at least addressed, like, the thing with what's his face? The Rat King. I forget what his name is. Theo Vaughn. That's his name. The Rat King.
He's got a problem with him too?
No. Remember when he went on his podcast and that to me, dude, that was great. That was good for him to get that out and to kind of unmask himself a little bit too, because he's in a difficult situation in the sense that we all look at fighters as like the strongest people on earth. And to a certain extent, yeah, they are. They're going out there, they're fighting. They're not just fighting, they're doing it in front of millions of people. Your most embarrassing moment can be in front of millions of people. Yeah, they are some of the strongest people, but at the core, they have the same organs you have. They have the same brain, like the same emotions. And I think it was good for him to kind of let that shield go down for a moment and remind people that at the end of the day, he's still human, but he's got to figure that out. You know, that's just not an excuse. And sometimes your actions are going to hurt other people, even the ones that you use as a defense mechanism.
I mean, DC used to cry after his losses.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can really, really flip you upside down, turn you on your head. He's been so Mr. Tough Guy though, and now he has these moments that, man, he takes a lot of heat online. I also applaud him for just kind of putting it out there. I mean, he was being serious. He was confessing. Yeah, you know, sometimes really want feel like I want to hurt someone, but then I go in there, I take my lumps for about an hour, hour and a half, and I come out and I'm all better for it. He even started by saying he woke up and told his girlfriend, "Hey, something's wrong. You know, like I want to crush people's skulls." I forget what he said.
Did you hear what he said today about Ian Gary's wife?
No. Yeah. I did.
Okay. What I liked about that was that he didn't use her name. Had he used her name and his thought process behind it, he is kind of fueling what it is she's doing, right? Or if you use Colby Covington's name, you are kind of adding fuel to that, because there are still some people who don't know who these people are and they want to be part of the drama. And the first thing they do is they Google that person, right? And they know more about them. So yeah, in a way, it is almost worth the attention, because more people are going to know who you are and they're going to invest more into your product, whatever it is you're trying to put out there. The fact that he just kind of said, "I won't say the person's name, but if you know who I'm talking about, then you know what this is about." That to me shows a little bit of maturity in a sense. You know, he's not like really trying to play the game. He's just trying to address what was said about him. And that I understand.
Yeah. Just keep reaching out. And I'm just wondering if his team is also doing that.
Yeah, hopefully. I think he has smart enough people around him to...
More specifically, Eric, I guess. I think about him. He's a real good friend of the show. And I don't know. It's kind of a touchy subject. Yeah. And I know he's controversial. And I know he hurts a lot of people's feelings. Upsets them. But then all of a sudden, he says these things that make you feel like he's a pretty decent dude, I guess. Like, there's really some things I agree with him on, like you said. And then there's things where you're like, bro, what are you thinking? Like, this is totally contrary. You want, you know, like, you stick up for some people because you don't like, you don't feel like someone's more special than someone else, but then all of a sudden you say these other things. I don't know. He even said, I'm rich. I have all the money in the world. I'm famous. It's all these things I ever wanted, but yet I'm still kind of tripping. Mm-hmm. That was pretty raw. All right. Look, we said we had two guests. Jonathan Martinez is the first one. He's fighting Jose Aldo. We're going to come straight out of the gate. I gotta know. Is this the co-main event, or are they still building that card? Who knows? Jose Aldo is such a huge mythical figure that I could accept it, I suppose. I think I've already taken the L and just said, all right, look, it's part of the job. The 301 is just not as sexy as 298. 299 and 300. But this matchup came out of nowhere. We'll talk to Jonathan Martinez, the Dragon. What's up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes delivering Jonathan Martinez to you guys. He just signed on to fight the great Jose Aldo at UFC 301. In Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Jonathan, are you guys the co-main event? Have they told you guys yet?
Yes, we're the co-main event.
Okay, all right. Do you like the way this kind of came together? Were you looking for another name? I mean, this is a huge fight. Don't get me wrong, but this came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I would never thought I was going to fight Jose Aldo, but it's a big name, and yeah, I'll be ready for it.
And obviously, he's a legend. We're not going to take anything away from that. And you're on an incredible streak. But does this get you closer to the title, I guess, is another thing. Like, that's, you are fighting a legend, but does this keep you kind of, you know, up there with the other top dogs, which I'm sure you want to get to?
Yeah, I feel like it'll help me a lot, just because he's a big name. And, you know, and it's a win, you know, it's going to open a lot of doors. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, it sure will. What about the fact that you're going to be the biggest enemy, the biggest heel on that night? I mean, this guy's the king of Rio. they love him down there, and the fans are passionate. Do you think that's something you'll be actually be able to thrive on, being able to either win the crowd over or maybe just give them the old, you know, like, how do you feel about that?
Honestly, I'm honestly ready for the booze, just because I've been fighting in the Apex for a long time, and hearing booze is, to me, it's going to feel like they're cheering for me. So either way.
Okay.
And some of the skins that you've had on your wall, you know, when we were going through it the other day, a lot of those names you could say are kind of in preparation for a guy like Jose Aldo. Is there anybody that you can point to on that list that shares some similarities that you think will help you in the fight?
It helped me. And then here at the gym too, at Factory X, we have a lot of guys that they fight similar as him. And, you know, so I have a lot of bodies in here that will help me get ready for that fight too.
One thing that stands out for us when we think of you two are the leg kicks, right? Like, that's going to be nasty between the two of you. Do you feel like Jose's maybe shied away from leg kicks in the last few, but do you feel like you could finish a legend who is known for leg kicks with his own weapon?
I don't really like to say much. You know, just go with the flow. You know, it comes, and maybe might not even kick. No, I'm just kidding, but... Yeah, you never know what happens.
In a way, is it almost like a race to see who does it first?
A little bit, but not really, because his boxing's really good, so I can't just go in and just start kicking, you know, because he's really explosive and stuff.
What did you think of his run in boxing? It was pretty decent what he did, but it's a completely different sport. And some people say it is a little difficult to come back and get that timing for mixed martial arts down, all that stuff. Do you think that will have any effect on a guy like Jose Aldo?
I don't know. I haven't really seen on his boxing matches. I didn't know he was boxing until a week ago when I got the fight. I started looking it up. But yeah, I haven't really watched none of his boxing. But yeah, sometimes... it will mess you up, but, you know, knowing Jose, you know, he's always good at everything he does, so.
A win here, if we look at the calendar, trying to figure out, do you think after the, would you want to, like, capitalize on that momentum? Would you try and get two more by the end of the year, one more? What do you think is feasible for you?
I like to stay active, so, you know, hopefully two more. You know, that's always my goal, to get three fights in a year, so. Don't like, I know some guys fight once a year, but I like to stay active.
I want to go back to the leg kicks, because it's quite the weapon that you have, and obviously he had it at one point. Tell us something about it. Like, when you let's say you throw 10 leg kicks, how many of those land how you like it, and how many of those actually cause harm to you, or you feel it a little bit too?
I don't even just work on them all the time. I don't really, doesn't really hurt that much. Not to the fight, yeah, it does.
At one point, he stopped throwing them because it really used to mess up his feet. And how about you? Have you encountered that yet? Or do you feel like you maybe are better at it? Which obviously we know you throw with the shin, but some of them don't land the way you do. So have you gotten to that point where it can be a little frustrating because then you got to go through the recovery process?
No, if I hurt my legs, I think my only 3-4 days, I guess, like a regular fight when someone hurts their legs, but it's not as bad as I seen his legs. And, you know, I guess his style is more a Muay Thai guy, a traditional Muay Thai guy. And mine, I mix my Muay Thai with my Taekwondo. So it's kind of different in a way.
Did anyone inspire you to throw leg kicks? Maybe Jose himself, or was there another fighter where you're like, oh, okay, I want to do that?
Kicking, not really. I just started doing it. I used to play soccer a lot. I'm a big fan of GSP. That's why I wanted to do it. But, you know, he never throw kicks. So.
Yeah. Were you pretty good at soccer? What position did you play? I'm just curious.
Well, I was a delantero. I don't know how to say that in English.
Forward?
Yes.
Ah, like, were you kind of like running down the wing and scoring from that position, or were you kind of like a center, like a striker, right in the middle?
I was on the left side. Yeah, okay. I wasn't in the meetings.
Is there any soccer player that you were a fan of? Because we're soccer fans as well, so I'm just curious if how much you followed it.
So I really didn't follow it. I used to play it all the time. I really didn't, like, I wasn't really a big watching it, but I played it since I was 5 years old all the way till when I was 12.
So, you know,
my son, well, he's 6 years old, but he trains a lot. Like, he trains it. He's had a lot of little pancreation fights in jiu-jitsu tournament, but he's a really big fan of soccer. Like, he tells me all these names, and I'm like, who is this? I remember he's one of his favorite soccer players. His name is Mbappe. I don't know how to say it.
Mbappe.
Yeah. And he'll tell me, he's like, you're saying it wrong, Dad. And he was like, oh, you're fighting in Brazil? There's a really good soccer player. He told me his name, and I was like, oh, I don't know who that is. But he's all telling me, like, you need to go see him. And I was like, I don't know who that is, son. But yeah, he's.
Is he going to go with you to Brazil?
No, he's not going to go. But he'll watch me.
I'll tell you this, Jonathan. I mean, I don't want to pry in your business. Is it because you just don't want to take him, or is it expensive, or he's in school? Like,
it's because he's in school, you know, because we already kind of take him a lot because he does a lot of tournaments. So he does a lot of competition. His age, they're in the cage, but they can't hit him in the face. So it's just from here down. And he's seven, and he already had about 12 already. And he's won them all. He just lost his first fight. And so sometimes we take him out like a Friday to go in, and Saturday, you know, he fights. But we've been taking him a lot, so I can't take him out for a whole week because then I get in trouble. Gotcha.
The reason I brought it up is because if you could somehow squeeze in a soccer game in Brazil, it is a crazy experience. I mean, they are fanatics over there when it comes to that sport.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, maybe one
something
day.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
If he's bringing home some good grades and you can somehow make it happen, make sure you squeeze in a soccer. You know, like when if you get, are you going to get there early or are you going to fly on a Tuesday like normal?
I think Tuesday.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it fits in the schedule or maybe after the fight or whatever, but it's quite the experience. I've been there a lot. So that was one of my favorite trips every time. One of my favorite things to do every time I went. But hey, listen, man, this is a great fight. We're all pumped up for it. You know, you've won your last six. You got the thing going on with the leg kicks. Your team's on fire as well. So you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself going into this battle, because that's a legendary team. You know, you're fighting Jose Aldo, Nova Uniao, and then Andre Pettenaris is a pretty legendary coach as well. But, you know, obviously where you guys are at, you guys are killing it too.
Yeah, man, I'll be real ready when it comes that day, you know. So just, I've been at the gym, you know, I'm always training, you know, I'm always training hard. But, you know, this fight just excites me. You know, I want to be in there and show that I belong there with the big guys and show them, you know, he had his time and now it's my turn.
Hey, Jonathan, last one from me. How important is going to be the first time that you see him face to face, maybe in the stare down or whatever? The only reason I bring this up is because we've interviewed a lot of fighters throughout our history, and some of them will say, it didn't seem like it would be something that would get into my head until I got into their face and I went, holy crap, that's Vanderlei Silva. Oh my God, that's Chuck Liddell. Do you think you'll ever have that moment? Like, holy crap, that's Jose Aldo. Like, is that something kind of that you can get out of the way early?
Not really. It's not gonna. I don't think it's going to affect me, because I used to be a real big fan of Tomas Almeida, and I fought him. And then Cub Swanson, I was a real big fan of him. I used to watch Cub Swanson's videos because it would motivate me in training. So I used to watch it all the time. But when I met him there and that, he's like a regular person. You know, I didn't think nothing until after the fight.
You know, one last thing I was going to ask was, we had heard that at some point, what do we got here?
Chris Gutierrez.
Okay. At one point, The Jose Aldo was going to fight Dominic Cruz, kind of like two WEC legends going at it. Obviously, that didn't happen, but did you hear anything? Like, did you ever get involved with a possible fight with Dominic Cruz before it became Aldo, or what else did you have kind of cooking before it settled on this fight?
Well, I've been wanting Dominic Cruz. I don't know how many times I called him out, so I guess he don't want to fight, so to me, I feel he should just retired already, you know. And but yeah, when this matchup came up, you know, I was excited about it.
Could you ever drop to 125 the way you Jose dropped from 145 to 135? I mean, he looked pretty chiseled. No one thought he could do it, but has that ever gone through your head?
Oh, no. I used to fight at 125. I had 9 pro fights at 125. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but never
again. In the UFC, it ain't happening?
No, since when I made my debut in the UFC, I made a short notice, but I was getting ready to fight for the 125 belt. And legacy, yeah. But yeah, I will never go back down. I can't. I'm too big for that.
Plus, you kind of look like Brandon Royval, so there's no sense in getting everyone mixed up, right?
Oh yeah, it's crazy because they still do that right now.
That's funny, man. Hey, thanks for the time today. We really appreciate it. Looks like maybe we caught you mid practice, so we'll let you get back to that. But we're really pumped up for this fight. In Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the co-main event of Jonathan Martinez and Jose Aldo. Folks, you got to tune in. It's a pay-per-view. Thank you, Jonathan. Take care, brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
When we talked to him last year at the International Fight Week, this guy was really shy. Today, he was still kind of shy. But today made last year's Jonathan Martinez. I mean, that guy looked like he was in a coma compared to today's. Today's, he was smiling a little bit, joking.
Yeah, that made me happy. It was good to see him kind of laugh at a couple things and really open up. And I think he'll get better at that. I honestly do.
I don't know if this fight really gets him closer to a title shot, but it's a huge stage. Maybe he gets paid pretty well because it's last minute and he has to go to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I mean, look, it's a logjam at the top. You got O'Malley, who just defended against Chito Vera. You got Merab Dvalishvili, really, probably the number one contender. But then you got Sanhagen, Umar Nurmagomedov, a few others just right there. You know, I imagine Martinez would have wanted to fight one of them, but it didn't work out. That's fine. But Aldo and Rio, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and you know what it does, though, is it's one of those fights where there's no turning back. I think maybe if it doesn't get it, I think it will get him closer to a title shot. But one thing it does do is you cannot fight below that now, you know, where if you look at the skins on his wall, like there's a good progression. And I think this fight right here will bump him up, especially, you know, I just don't anticipate there being like this going to the judges or anything. Like, I think it's going to be bad, whether it's on Jose Aldo's side or Jonathan's side. I think the ending is going to be very bad, and there's no coming back from it, man. Like, I think he probably will get the job done against Jose. And after that, better be a sexy name for him.
Agreed. What did you think of Rose Namajunas saying she doubts she'll come back to strawweight when she's actually 2-0 against the world champ? Usually it's the other way around. You're 0-2 and you're like, okay, I better bounce. I ain't getting a third title shot anytime soon. Let's see what I can do going up or going down. And yet her, she's 2-0 against the champ, and she's like, nah, I'm cool over here.
I have a love-hate relationship with Rose Namajunas because I always appreciate the fact that she's pretty raw and she just tells you the truth, what's on her mind. But I don't always agree with what comes out of her mouth. And in this particular case, I appreciate the fact that she was honest, that that's just the way she's looking at things. But at the same time, I know she was hurt in this last fight, but a lot of fighters have fought hurt and figured out ways to win. To me, I just feel like the size is going to be too much for her in this division, and she can go back to a division where she's one of the bigger gals and one of the stronger gals. And I wouldn't close the door just yet. To me, that was a little odd.
Yeah, well, Hebus also came from strawweight. In fact, she fluctuates back and forth, but I get what you're saying. You're talking about Blanchfield and...
Yeah, because you want to be at the top,
those
right?
Those are some specimens, man, those girls. I don't even think Grasso's that big. You know, Valentina's pretty jacked and experienced, and she competed as a bantamweight at one point. But yeah, they just keep getting bigger and bigger, man, that's for sure. We'll see. I will tip my hat to Rose in that. She's proven me wrong many times, and she's a world champ. You know, she was, But still, I feel like her and Tatiana Suarez, when I've asked them or when I've just come across what they've said, I mean, I've asked Tatiana Suarez, hey, are you going to maybe do flyweight before you come back to straw? And she gave me this answer, why would I do that? Like, I was a lunatic from another planet. And I'm like, because you have a win over the current world flyweight champion? And when Grasso was a strawweight, Suarez kind of manhandled her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think you'd want to play that card if it's available to you, and you don't have to cut to 115 right now. But she's 2-0 in their comeback, and one fight was at 15, one fight was at 25, so she's got endless possibilities.
Yeah.
All right. We also have John Dodson, who's going to be fighting at BKFC. But before we get to that, did you kind of watch, or did you watch the BKFC press conference they had for the huge card that they have, Knuckle Mania, coming up in like mid-April, third week of April?
I didn't. I had a little bit of a busy day today. Otherwise, I'm pretty much all in on BKFC. But I did kind of read the highlights and, you know, things that happened, but I didn't get a chance to actually watch it. I'd like to.
They had Thiago Alves, who's challenging Mike Perry. Well, Mike Perry's not a champion, so he's not really a title challenger. They're just the main event. And then they had Ben Rothwell versus and Todd Duffy. They're not fighting for a world title either, but still, they're big names. So it was pretty cool. It was actually emceed by Albert Clifford Slater, also known as AC Slater, also known as Mario Lopez. He looked like he was struggling a little bit at times, which is weird because he's been a TV host for I don't know how many years. He's acted. So being in front of the camera shouldn't be a problem. In fact, I heard he wrestled in high school. He likes to box, you know, to stay in shape. So he's kind of a combat sports fan, but he looked a little rough there in his debut as a host.
I can't remember what belt he has, but I know he's not a white belt. Maybe blue or purple or something like that. But yeah, he's a big time combat sports fan. So
in BJJ?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Paul Walker a brown belt? Like, he had gotten up there.
I don't know how high he got, but I know that he had been doing it for some time.
It's either a brown or black, and I'm pretty sure it's a brown, but either way, it's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
Ed O'Neill's a black belt. Former Mr. Bundy back in the day. And what was the new series he had with Sofia Vergara?
Modern Family.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched that?
No. Is it good?
It's actually pretty funny, yeah.
Hmm. Sometimes I feel like I'm late to the party. I mean, obviously on that one I am. And so let's say I watch it. It's not like back in the day when Sopranos came out, as soon as it was over at 10, it went 9 to 10. Me and my buddies would text each other, what'd you think? What'd you think? You know, oh man, I thought Sylvia was going to cap that fool. Or you see that hot stripper at the bottom being, you know, that type of thing. But nowadays with streaming service, I might tell you something like, bro, did you see, well, what's the name of the guys from Yellowstone? Are they the Daltons? What are they again?
The Duttons.
The Duttons. Yeah, I might tell you, man, that bitch Beth is crazy. Did you see what she did? You know, I'm on episode 3 of season 1, and you might tell me, oh, man, I'm on season 3. She died, you know, like last season. It's you're just not on the same wavelength type thing.
Yeah, I can see that. It is a little different, but if it's like, I don't know if you have shows that you like to watch like right before you go to bed or something, they're quick. They're like, they're supposed to be 30 minutes, right? But with commercials, it's probably 22 minutes, I think, 24 minutes, something like that. But they're funny.
You're still talking about Modern Family, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I might give it a shot. Who knows? Sofia Vergara is hot. I've been enjoying her on Griselda, which I think is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only like on episode 4. I'm really, really slow at that right now. I'm all over the place here with other stuff. But we'll see if I can maybe fit it in my schedule. All right, so BKFC, I teased it. John Dodson's up next. We'll talk to the magician.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes checking in here with one of the top fighters in the world from the world of bare knuckle. We met him through MMA. He was a title challenger back in the day in the flyweight division. Now he's a champion at bare knuckle, and he's defending his title at BKFC 59, Dodson versus Aguero. You can watch the fights on the BKFC app. I can watch them on Fubo TV. I'm in South America. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited. I'm going to go ahead and knuckle up this dude's face as quickly as possible.
You know what jumped out of me the most when I was looking you up was you're 39. I couldn't believe that.
I know. I still have like this gorgeous face, this boy, this look, and I look like a handsome figure model, action model, whatever. I like a little toy.
I mean, you just give off this vibe of like a 23, 25-year-old, but how's your body feel after all these years?
Be honest with you, it feels like a 25, 23-year-old body, but then I hang out with 20-year-olds and I realize I'm definitely 39.
So by that, you mean you get your butt kicked every once in a while in the gym?
No, by that is like when I sit there, start beating up them and I'm telling them like old phrases that I'm like, oh yeah, back in my day, they're like, well, how old are you? And I was like, oh, yeah, I've been fighting longer than you've been alive. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So you can still hang, though, huh? Everything, like, waking up is no problem. You can do this for a few more years. I mean, remember, the lighterweight fighters, they don't go as long as the heavyweights. They go into their mid-40s sometimes.
Well, it's good. With the lighterweights, we don't get paid as much as what the heavier fighters go do. So we can't risk our body for injuries that long. But when it comes to being myself, I don't really care. I'm just going to go ahead and keep on being an entertaining fool as it is and make the most of it. Whenever I can just go ahead and bow out, I'll do it.
As I was scrolling down just to look at your last few fights.
Says amazing. Don't worry.
See which ones you've weighed in at, you know, things like that. On one of them, it jumped out at me. I think it said your pay at BKFC was 75 or something. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is, I'm just curious, do you get paid more as a BKFC fighter than you did as an MMA fighter?
Yes and no. Like, there's more pros and cons to it. Like, being a UFC fighter, I got the extra stardom and fame, and we get win-loss bonuses. But with BKFC, it's a set amount, and it's a contracted fight. So it doesn't matter if I win or lose, I still get the set amount of pay. And then with all of our sponsors that can help me out within the inside the square circle or an outside of it as well, they continue to pay me through and through and through throughout the rest of the year.
So which one has given you most comfort, I guess, after you do, you know, add in the sponsors and the fact that it's upfront money? Which one's given you, I guess, a little bit more peace as a prize fighter?
I can't really say which one is which because of the fact that I was with the UFC for so long, like, over a decade of fighting for the UFC actually made my life very comfortable and made it become easy living. And then fighting with the BKFC is still allowing it for me to go ahead and maintain that kind of lifestyle.
There's just no way you could do both, huh?
I still can be mixing it up with bare knuckle and mixed martial arts like I'm currently still doing right now.
I normally like to respect where you're at, and it's bare knuckle, and you got a fight coming up. We'll talk about that. But it's this thing with the flyweight division. I don't know if you keep track of it, but there's not much going on in the UFC. They had to use a guy named Steve Ursig. He's going to fly to Rio de Janeiro and challenge Alexander Pantoja. You know, a lot of these guys have rematched each other. A lot of guys just are either matched up. There's not depth, you know, and I'm thinking, I wonder why they haven't reached out to flyweights that they've worked for in the past just to kind of keep building the division.
I don't know, but back in my day when I was in the UFC, they sat there and told me that I couldn't fight Demetrius Johnson for the third time, and it would be a boring fight. So I had to move up to 135. So, and I did, and look how well that turned out. And then I went back down to flyweight, and look how amazing I am.
Gotcha.
Ghost? So I don't even know why they haven't sat there and chose to come out to bring other people back in. They just want to get new life, new fame, new stardom, and new star power to that flyweight division. With more power to them. They want to keep like a unique system for them to go ahead and make more money. Let's go ahead and just push the older guys out who would demolish all those young guys. Because I really think I could knock out Pantoja right now too if I need to.
Have you kind of kept track of what goes on there? Like, we've all been kind of scratching our heads. A lot of people thought it was Muhammad Mokaev, maybe Brandon Royval, and then Ursik just comes out of nowhere. I mean, that's just got to be tough for fighters that have, he's undefeated, Mokaev, you know, to have somebody that has only had three fights come in and do that. It's got to be frustrating. Do you still kind of keep tabs on the division?
Here and there, when I'm watching a few fights, there's a couple of people I do like to really want to see how do well in the, like, in the UFC right now, like Tim Elliott, Brandon Royval. Like, he's a cool kid. I just want to sit there and see how well he's going to make it as a champion. I want him to be out there. And Brandon Moreno.
You were a pioneer for the flyweights, and you helped put them on the map. Now over here at BKFC, the whole organization, right, you're getting new fans every day. Do you feel like you're in that role again of kind of being a pioneer and ushering a new level to this?
Absolutely. Within the BKFC, I'm making sure I can go ahead and be a new pioneer to not just flyweights, but to the world in general. I want to go ahead and merge the two dynamic sports of mixed martial arts and boxing and combine them together. Like, a lot of people continue to sit there and have this weird doubt and trying to play, if we got to do clinching, if we got to go ahead and be more boxing oriented, bare knuckles is a way that we can merge the two of them together. And this is for me to go ahead and knuckle up somebody's face who's a professional boxer against mixed martial artists.
You know, BKFC's history is not as big as some of the other organizations. And right now, the way you're going, it doesn't take that much for you to be kind of one of those names that we talk about. You know, when we talk about Luis Palomino, Mike Perry, some of these guys that have gotten a lot of wins in BKFC, you're not that far behind. What would that mean to you to be one of those guys that maybe we put on that BKFC Mount Rushmore?
Actually, that'd be amazing because of the fact that I can go ahead and do it again for another sport. Being another pioneer in another organization, another type of league, that means I have kept my longevity of fighting in the combat sports realm. It cemented me a little bit closer to the Hall of Fame and that stardom of what I believe is reaching the full potential of being a true competitive, destructive force in combat sports.
When you do homework in BKFC versus homework in MMA, how different is it to study your opponent? Because, you know, you could study your opponent all day in MMA, and let's just say you're focusing on his boxing, and all of a sudden he becomes a wrestler for the next fight, right? Like in BKFC, what is it like watching footage, especially now that there's a little bit more on each opponent? What have you learned studying for your opponent?
Now, studying for my opponent, he's like a traditional boxer. I need to go ahead and understand that boxing realm and where I can manipulate my clinch game and also my wrestling game as well. I know we're not shooting for takedowns, but handling those the plums, the ties, collar ties, and be able to exchange in those clinching areas, I want to dictate that pace and being a lot heavier and making them suffer throughout the whole time, the whole entirety of the fight.
John, so again, I looked through your resume. You've come up short in a few title fights. You've won tough. Now you've won this. What's been the biggest moment in your whole combat sports career? Is it this belt you own now?
The biggest moment for me in the combat sports realm would have to be the win of Ultimate Fighter. Because knocking out TJ Dillashaw was just kind of an amazing thing. And I just love how the whole crowd booed me in the beginning of the fight. And then they loved me at the end of the fight. Also coming out here winning this BKFC title is another great thing for me. Because of the fact that I get to do it in my hometown, in my backyard. And I had a whole city in the state of New Mexico cheering me on for this title.
What Hall of Fame? You mentioned, I think, a Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fames would you like to be in by the time you retire from combat sports?
The Combat Sports Hall of Fame, y'all, MMA Junkies Hall of Fame, the fans' favorite Hall of Fame, like literally where my name is continuously written in the stars and not washed away in the sands. I want people to remember my name throughout all history and want to go ahead and emulate my style. Imitation is going to be the greatest form of flattery, and that's what I'm going to have them do, like when they're reaching out to them. They're going to be like, oh man, I want to do like how John Dodson did it.
Hey, John, can I jump in real quick? Just out of curiosity, what's a Hall of Fame that you could be a part of that we would never anticipate? And I'll give you an example. I'm pretty close to probably being in the Chipotle Hall of Fame. What about you? Is there anything we don't know about you? Like, he's the best at this video game. He's the quickest at this. What Hall of Fame that we don't know about you could possibly be in?
Dead by Daylight. It's a video game. Yep. Yeah. I might be in that game. Dead by Daylight Hall of Fame pretty soon if I continue to play.
So you're really, really good.
I'm very good at hunting people down and making them cry.
I was just looking. New Mexico's got a sports Hall of Fame. And I think that'd be pretty cool if you made it into that because, again, you've won two titles that command respect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That would be awesome to be a homegrown hero, be in my own hometown as a Hall of Famer there. But I want to just be a Hall of Famer in everything that I want to be part of, like BKFC, Ryzen, UFC, the Tickle Hall of Fame. You know, all the general things that normal people do, you know?
No, I think it'd be pretty cool. Yeah, like I say, to win a title in two different sports is impressive. So, and you've been entertaining, you know, and you definitely lay people out, which is what helps build the anticipation towards your fights, is you pack that power. And again, at the lower weight class, it's not as common. So you've really, really stuck out in a good way throughout your career in that regard.
Oh, well, thank you. I know, being a short little pack punching machine, it's going to do something good for me. Thank you.
Are you in a high school Hall of Fame or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm in a high school Hall of Fame, but it's for wrestling and also for track and field.
That's what sports were you in for track and field?
I did the 400, the 200, the 4x4, high jump, pole vault. Yeah, I know a lot of y'all are going to sit there and be like, high jump. Ooh. Yeah, no, I was actually in high. I did high jump and pole vault.
What was your vertical? Do you remember?
Not back then. Like right now, when I keep on getting tested, it's at 43.
Damn. What was your 400 speed, your 440 speed, highest or best time, I guess?
I ran a 4.7.
That would be your 40-yard dash. What about the 400 meters?
Oh, 400 meters was my fastest time was a 45.6.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Because the world record's like in the 42s by now, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, but like me and my buddy Chris Grano were the always one running each other, chasing each other down. And he was the guy who beat my record the same day. When I broke the high school record, he broke the record on the next heat. And I was like, I hate you. I hate you so much.
That's brutal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like that more heartbreaking. That reminds me of, I broke the record. And then they're like, Grano. And I was like, at his time, and I was like, I hate you. We're running 4x4 together.
This guy right here is
running in the same lap with me.
This guy right here is my little brother. And when he was younger, I took him to a WrestleMania. Yokozuna. I don't know if you know any of these names. Yeah. But he won a world title. And like what goes, maybe 15 minutes later, Hulk Hogan took it from him. How did that go down?
That, like 5 minutes later, he beat Bret Hart and then challenged Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan came in and beat him like within 5 minutes or something.
So he held the world title about as long as he held that record.
Yep, exactly. That's a moment right there that I realized I need to do something more magical and be amazing somewhere else.
Magical, I like it. Now they're gonna light us up if we don't ask you this, because there's probably a lot of jokes here, and you seem to have a good sense of humor. But come on, the pole vault—you really did that?
Yeah. So I was doing high jump for a long time, and every time I was doing high jump, the highest height I got was at the starting for what they would be doing competing at state at. So I would make 5'11", and then my next jump would be 6 foot, and I would be like, all right, cool, let's go ahead and try to get this. And then pole vault came around. They're like, hey, do you want to still jump high but cheat? And I said, yes, I would want to do that. And so they tricked me and told me that I was going to be able to do that, and it was a different type of high jump. And the highest I ever got was like 17 feet.
Wow. Damn. Pretty impressive. Is it a dangerous sport?
When the pole snaps, yes, because I'm like tiny. That's a very high fall. Like,
has that happened to you?
No, but I've watched a lot of people fly across and have their own poles break. They had to keep on buying like new poles for me because I was so like little, but I was keep on jumping so high. And then there was another guy who always wanted to use my poles, but he ended up breaking one of my poles because he was 170 pounds. Mm-hmm. So the weight limits on them were phenomenal, because that means I got special equipment only.
When someone wants to do the pole vault, like how long does it take? Like, I imagine you run with the thing and then you learn how to put it in the right place. But then how do they teach you to jump and then let that thing kind of carry you over? Like that kind of trips me out a little bit.
No, when you're running on pole vault, you're sitting there having your arms locked out. So when you're going in, you're staying relaxed until the point impact when you have to straighten. And then you keep this locked right here, and that's going to help you create the bend and momentum. Just tuck your knees up and shoot over the top of it. And then when you're going upwards, you just have to be as flat as possible so that you can just arc over the bar.
Wow. most of the time you will land on that thing though, right? You don't ever reach there and then come back to where you started or nothing like that, or what?
Only if you're afraid of what you're supposed to be doing. It's like anything in life. If you don't do 100% committed to it, you're gonna fail and make mistakes that are gonna be life altering or changing the whole course of perfection. Like the part of success is doing the thing knowing that you believe it 100%. And if you believe in it, then you keep on going out throughout it.
Is it like riding a bike where like if I said, hey, we locked our keys in the house, can you fly over that fence to get over? Would you be able to pull pole vault and just fly over?
Well, I could jump over it, definitely, for sure.
What if it's a really high wall?
Mm-hmm. But if it's really high, I'm down a climb, and if I had a pole vault, I'd need something I can go ahead and pitch myself to propel me over it. But yes, I would be able to try it.
Wow.
I'm always down to.
John, if you told me, hey, we're going pole vaulting today, but then goes says, nah, come with me, we're going surfing, although there are some sharks out there, I still think I might take my chance with the surfboard and the sharks just because. Why? You don't hear about it many times. I don't know, man. Something about like if you don't stick it and you're up there, that's like two stories that you're up there, right? And yeah, half of it is a soft landing, but what about the other sides?
I mean, it's not half. It's like more of like the high 80s when it's nice and soft. But when it's not, it's like falling. You stub your toe, it hurts. Just think about it, you're stubbing your toe a lot harder.
Can't the stick kebab you too if it breaks?
See, you guys are sitting there saying all the negative stuff. Like, you can die by getting eaten by a shark. And if the shark doesn't get you, you know, the water will drown you.
True.
And if there's not that, there's jellyfish that can sting you. And then there's turtles that can, like, control you. There's octopuses that can just strangle your neck. I mean, there's a lot more dangers in the ocean than jumping up in the air and shoving a stick into the ground to have you propel you through over a house.
All right. I just never met a pole vaulter, so that's why I've been holding on to questions for 54 years. I can ask them all these things. And of course, I get a kick out of those videos like the Derek Lewis post where people are always crashing and burning. That's why I was wondering if there was anything like that had ever happened or what can happen. This is a trip right here.
I mean, there's a bunch of possibilities of everything that can go wrong. Like, I can get hit.
You had no injuries,
I can get hit by a bus while walking on my front door.
You had no injuries from pole vaulting?
No. I have no injuries from pole vaulting. The worst injury I've ever sustained was throwing a head kick to somebody's face in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my knee popped out, and I tore my ACL. And that was against John Morago, and I had to knee him in his face after the fight. Well, and after the fight, in the second round, so I can end the fight.
So you've been pretty injury-free all your sports career.
Oh, sports career, yes. And then I flew into a tree about 15 feet in the air, and that wasn't because of pole vaulting. It's because I was riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, please take us through this. What happened? I got to hear this one.
My brother just bought a bike, and I was like, hell yeah, we can go ahead and do this. We'll go ahead and rip this motorcycle for a minute. And then he goes, hey, you want to drive? But I was like, yeah, cool. I want to ride a motorcycle. No, I have no idea, no clue on how to do it. I just gripped it and ripped it, and I just launched myself into a tree. I saw a tree and I saw a car, and I realized the car had insurance and the tree didn't, so I went headfirst into a tree. Broke my shoulder blade. Oh, straight down the pipe. Yeah, they said...
Why was it a car and a tree? Why wasn't there just open air that you could have driven through?
Well, there was open air, but it wasn't a field. It was a parking lot, so I decided to say, I can go ahead and do this. Yeah, we just got it right now. And I had to fix his bike. Literally pulled it off the driveway. I mean, out of the store, came through, drove it. I had it in the driveway. Next day, next 2 or 3 weeks, I had to wait in the body shop with it because I had to pay for the damages I did to his bike.
Last question. Did you ever play football?
Yes. I was a nose tackle, fullback, and the most important part, I was a strong safety.
I was going to say, I bet you would have been tough because you got wheels. You probably would have been tough to tackle if you were a running back.
Yeah, it looked like I was a pinball. So people always sit there and say, every time that I would run the ball and they'd hand it to me and I got a good like room to run, I'd be bouncing off of everybody that kept on trying to tackle me, like a little pinball machine, just keep on bouncing. And then it the only work if I was getting game tackled. And then I realized I don't like that because like having 600 pounds crushing me sucked and I was like 120 pounds.
And that's what doesn't compute for me. So hopefully you can ask this one, answer this one last one. Most nose tackles are 6 foot three, 320 pounds. You're 5 foot three, 120 pounds. Why did they stick you at nose tackle?
Oh, because I was quick and they just wanted to piss off all the defenses. And then I used to get, I was like, got really good at timing the ball. So I would dive underneath the center's legs and sack the quarterback.
Man, so you were kind of like Rudy out there. Did you ever see the movie Rudy?
Yeah. That's what inspired the whole trip for me to be a nose tackle. And they're like, hey, you want to try it? I was like, sure, why not? I'm always down for a good time. They're like, you're all in strong safety. Do you think you can deal with these centers? And they're like, what do I really have to do? Because I'm not going to move these guys. So they're like, we just need them to like try to trap you and have a 2-on-1 on you. And I was like, all right, sounds stupid, but okay, at least it'll give an opening for somebody who will be a good team player.
Your job was to disrupt. I bet you were really, really good at it too.
Oh, I was, because I just started talking. I was like, hey, you realize I can fit through this. And they're like, what? Start tackling people. They're like, that's dumb. Don't ever do that again. One time, one dude just sat on me when I thought I was sitting there. He must have seen all the footage. I got sat on top of him. I was like, I had to get pulled out immediately. I told my coach, I was like, yo, I don't understand. It works 90% of the time, but this is that one time it didn't. And I'm like,
that's hilarious. John Dodson, the magician. Now he's doing it at bare knuckle. He's the champ, and he defends his belt at bare knuckle 59. So bare knuckle fighting championship 59. It is in his home turf, in his backyard at the Tingley Coliseum in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Friday the 29th. Go check out bare knuckle. It moves fast. These guys know how to throw on fights, so they move fast throughout the card. This will be the main event. Thank you, as always, for the time. It's been great chatting with you, John.
Oh, no. Thank you guys for always bringing me on and keep on entertaining me with all the questions, and I love to keep on entertaining y'all.
Sounds good. Take care, bud.
I think I was being generous, goes. He's 39, but he. I said to someone like he's going on 23, 25. Man, that guy's going on like 12, isn't he?
He, the first time we ever met him, I remember when he walked. I remember he said something like, is he for real? Or like, because he was just like this ball of energy that would not quit. And it was like a quick
studio, 10, right?
Yeah, it was like 10, 15 minutes or something like that. But it went by so fast. And he is like matured in his own way throughout the years. But he's still just like a kid at heart. But I love that he's willing to just talk about whatever. And it was fun to kind of get to know that other side of him. Like, I don't know about you, but we didn't have pole vaulting. And I think we didn't have it because of the risk of injury for kids. Mm-hmm. So for him to do that, I can't. I mean, you're right. You're up in the air like two stories or some shit like that. Like, I don't know. That can't go well for everyone.
And as ridiculous as that is, him pole vaulting, how about the fact that he's 120, 5 foot three, and he's a nose tackle in football? I mean, I know we're not talking about the NFL, but still, I mean, my high school, modern day, you better be at least 6 feet and probably a good 250 pounds if you're playing nose tackle at high school.
Because what happens when they run the ball? Like, I kind of get the strategy behind a pass, but if they're running it, you're just going to get walloped every play.
Yeah, he's kind of laughing that off. What did he say? Someone sat on him? That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right, folks, listen, enjoy Bellator. It's Friday at noon Eastern for the prelims, 3 p.m. Eastern for the main card. And you got two title fights. Patricio Frady defends his featherweight title undisputed against Jeremy Kennedy. And then Carl Moore and Corey Anderson, they compete for the vacant light heavyweight title left behind by Vadim Nemkov. So don't forget Mondays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for Spinning Backlick. Thank you all so much for your support of the radio show, the website, our social media, stuff like that. We really, really appreciate it. All right. We are out of here. Have a great weekend. Go out and be a champion.